a, something on my heart of to deal with a series called God and Country. Which kingdom are you truly living for? And if you don't know, don't worry. By the time I get done, you'll know specifically. Of course, we all have priorities that we put things into. And today, I want to talk to you a little bit about the irresistible direction of your treasure. And I thank God each and every one of us, as we look, take your Bibles to two different places. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I guess if I try to tell you where to, and some of those places, if you get to looking, I think it's go to, if you find 1 and 2 Kings, take a right. I believe 2 Kings, you take a right and go all the way to the very end, the last chapter of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 14. I'm going to be talking about a good bit of these verses. And then hold your place there once you find that. And then I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And starting with it in Matthew chapter 6. In verse 21, I believe. Let me see if I told you that right. Yes. Oh, excuse me. Verse 19. Verse 19 down to verse 21.
And what in 1 Chronicles?
1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14. 14. I know it's unusual. I've been giving you two scriptures, but this is one of the things that the way I led, I was looking at 2 Corinthians part of this week, and later on in the week, I began to pray the Lord began to deal with me about this. I thank God as we look this morning at the irresistible direction of your treasure. Now, I thank God as each and every one of us go through life. I know that we all have a lot of things that we go through with. One of the things is are we seeking the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the United States of America? I don't know about you, but America will always have as an agenda. But as Christians, even though that we're patriotic and this is not about a holiday of 4th of July or anything like this, this is about seeking the kingdom. Seeking the kingdom. And I thank God because I believe today that is one of the number one things that has happened in America that's lacking is there's not enough people seeking the correct kingdom. Amen. Sometimes we get caught up in our country, and I'm going to tell you, being a military person, they probably, if I was given a mission to do, there's probably, unless it dealt with my morals of children or something like that, or women, if I had to go do something, most of us are pretty patriotic that if we have a mission to do, to say in general that we're going to do it because, hey, we're Americans. I love America. It's red, white, and blue as all of us are today. But I also love God. We know that our priorities are first what? We've got our family that we have to take care of because if you don't take care of your family, then you know what? You can't do God's work. It starts out with our family, but it also then it goes with your family to God, and then it goes to country. And so, but today, the country may be on a different page than on the Great Commission that we are today. And that's exactly what I'm dealing with here, because I thank God as I wrote a couple of things down and that I was looking at to talk about. And in regards to that, like I said, I'll read the scripture first. I thank God as I was looking at this, I got to thinking about a lot of things. Every one of us, we're destined to be the bride of Christ. According to Revelation 21:9, that the Bible tells us, and with that destiny, that is one of the things about us today that not only are we the bride of Christ, but we belong to Jesus Christ. And be able to do that, we've got a specific plan. God is dependent on every one of us this morning to seek the kingdom of God. Now, we got the kingdom of the United States of America, sure. But and each and every one of us, in all the things that we do today, that we try and do the right thing. David is giving us an illustration of the last days of his life. He's 70 years old. He's given 40 years to building the kingdom. And he wants to pass on some things to Solomon because Solomon's unprepared for building the church. David wanted to build the church, but he didn't get a chance. He was a man of war. And so the Lord said to him, well, God didn't, you can't build it. But you know what? He helped prepare it. He helped get all the materials. Sounds like the nation of America today. George Washington was the first president. He got the architect. He come up with the designs. He took care of the funding that it would always be there, but he never got to live in. All the other John Adams and all, we've been watching this series called John Adams. It ain't nothing but about our history, amen. But it's a good series. It's a safe series to watch today. And if you can say that, and it is. But I thank God as we look at America today and realize that of all the things that we look at, the irresistible direction of your treasure. And I know where I'm going to get to in a minute, but I remember a couple of things of some shows that was on, and it gave me a couple ideas about some things because, you know, seeking God, getting back to that, is spiritual. And it comes about because we choose to do so. That's why I'm saying America today, a lot of them as Americans are not seeking to do that. We got to continue, even though that things look gloomy, it looks like, man, you know, wow, are we ever going to get back to normal? But the thing is that we got to continue to seek the Lord, his guidance. And in seeking God, which is a spiritual thing, it comes about because we choose to do so. We take time out on our daily schedules to get in the Word of God, get down on our knees, to be able to be faithful to God in all of these areas of our relationship, amen. And so we've got to continue to focus on seeking him. But today, in all of the things that happen, there's a lot of folks that say, you know what? Man, my life is being threatened today. I can't continue doing it. Oh, yes, you can. You need to continue seeking God because it is a spiritual thing. Now, when it gets to the point where it's time to come back to church, you need to make that decision. You need to get back in the house of God because that is exactly what this series, God in Country, is about. And I thank God every one of us today. I'm going to talk about three things that I wrote down, amen, because God desires, David's desire basically was to know and to follow God's heart. And David has given us an outline that if I was to say Daryl's desire needs to be to know and to follow God's heart, you can put your name in where David is because he's our outline today where he's coming to the end of his life. He knows it. You know, I wonder, many of us today, we can pick on ourselves and say, well, you know, I'm wanting to do this. I've been wanting to accomplish this, but I don't know if I'm going to get it done. Maybe not. But I thank God every one of us, many Christians today, they can't conceive the idea of being truly close to God because Satan has convinced them that it's impossible. We've got this cold band going on, and, you know, we can't continue to be faithful like we were. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can be faithful. And so the devil can tell us so many good lies, as he always has, that he can tell you it's impossible for you to continue to serve the Lord. Oh, no, it's not. We're to seek God. And I thank God the only way that you can do that is make that a part of your life every day. And so we're going to be talking about David's desire to know and to follow God's heart. The second thing I'm going to be talking about this morning is David gave his personal treasure to expand the work of God. He went over and above being able to do that, amen, that he made sure that Solomon had all the materials, just like George Washington did. He picked the architect. He did all of these things, amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look and realize that the treasure truth that we look at today, which will not only be in 1 Chronicles 29, but Matthew chapter 6, and verse 19 down to verse 21, and also in verse 33, I believe, if my memory, because every bit of this makes me think, and I'm going to read the scriptures in a minute, but makes me think of a TV series that was on, or a movie called the Pirates of the Caribbean. And of course, you say, well, hang on now, how you do that? I'm kind of relaying some of the television with the Bible this morning. Jack Sparrow was his name, and he had a very unusual compass. And that compass basically was different. It didn't point to the magnetic north. What it did was is it pointed to the thing that you want most in the world, whatever that was. That's what that magnet pointed to. Would it be good that your magnet points to the thing that you desire the most? Jesus Christ. Wherever it is, it ain't working by the magnetics of the north and south, the pointing magnetic north. But Jack Sparrow, in three of the movies that I remember watching, one of them that it was pointing to basically to the Black Pearl. Then in another movie, it pointed to a bottle of rum that he had his mind on. Whatever his heart was set for, amen. And then later on, that compass, it pointed to the Fountain of Youth.
Boy, wouldn't it be good today? We come in, we get up every day, the compass that here is this direction of our lives would always point to our treasure. That's why I call it the irresistible direction of your treasure. Because every day when you get up, there is something that the Holy Spirit put in me that it begins to be the compass of my life, and it points my heart to the direction to where it needs to be focused on. Not a bottle of rum, not the black pearl, not the fountain of youth, not all the things of gain for Darryl Bailey, and all of the accomplishments that I can hold and put up in a closet and put into a storage bin, because I'm not going to enjoy those things. I am building for the kingdom of God, amen. You say, what can you build? What can you put in the kingdom of God? I believe God is building our character. He's getting us ready for the future. And that is the thing that you can put in store in heaven one of these days. He's getting every one of us ready because, listen, this ain't the end for us. We're coming back here in the millennial reign. And I thank God right now we're going through a time of history where right now the church is the bride. We've got a place with the Father, and I thank God we've got a place later on. And so let me say that third thing. David's third thing is he revealed the secret of joyful living, because this has got a good ending. Ain't you glad that the story of the Lord has a good ending for all of our lives? It ain't always gloom and doom, amen. And so we're destined for the bride of Christ, amen. And God has a specific plan for our men and women, all of us this morning, and your place in the kingdom of God is very unique. And so I thank God. You see, we've got to continue to seek Him and focus on building the things that will last forever in your life. Those are things that nobody will be able to take with you, even though that we lay this little body down. Those are things that will stick with you even in the coming days of the millennial reign, that God will begin to use you for His purpose and uniqueness that He has, praise God. And so I thank God, the irresistible direction of your treasure, where is it today? And so I thank God, every one of us, it's not in all of the treasures there, but wherever your heart is, as we take our Bibles and as we look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14, we see how David is praising God, and he's got some thanks and petitions of prayers that he's given. And I thank God we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but look down at verse 14. Something about that just spoke out. Let me go to verse 13, because, man, all of this is good. But he says, now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. He says in this verse 15, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thy holy name cometh of thy hand and is all thine. Notice what he said. He said, everything, Lord, that you've let me borrow, it's all yours. You gave me all of these things for your building, for your kingdom. We seek you out this morning, he said. Let me pick back up. He says, in verse 16, O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thy holy name cometh of thy hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart. Woo, listen right there. What is talking about? The heart. And hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, again, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of thy heart, again, of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build a palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God and their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after that day, even
1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs with their drink offering and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. Turn now, if you don't mind, over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, down to verse 22, and then to verse 33. Listen. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where leaves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Flip over to the very last verse, in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God. As we go into the last of David's life in the Old Testament, we come into the New Testament, and we remember some of the things that you shared because you first went to the Jews, but they turned you down. And now, Father, as we're going through a time and period of the church, but Lord, the next thing that we're waiting for is the rapture and for the wedding that you have invited us all to. And Lord, the next thing is you're continuously gathering all of the Jews back, getting them ready for the tribulation, to where, Father, that things can continue to go forward to your plans that you have. Lord, I ask you this morning that you'll speak to us about our God and country and what we seek first, that, Lord, today you're the foremost thing that's about every bit of us, the great commission that you called us to do, even in these times that we're in today, Lord, as God and country. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll speak to our hearts this morning through what you have for us to say this morning. Give us that we need to say, even though that we studied or whatever we have not studied. Let the Holy Spirit take over this morning. Let it reveal and let it speak to all of us. Let it speak to those in Facebook and some in audio. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here this morning that haven't been taking the time to seek you spiritually, Lord, they need to change their direction. They need to let that compass be able to be the irresistible direction of their lives, to turn them into the direction of you, because you are our greatest treasure. Lord, you told us today that our number two goals of all the commandments is to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, but also to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so today, Father, as we take those things, as we go forward in this country today, may those continue to be the foremost things that we're thinking about as we seek you out. You're our greatest treasure. You're the irresistible direction in our lives that guides us, that points us through the Holy Spirit of God, that you will begin to bring about a revival, even in times like these, that, Lord, that you can do whatever can be done. No one else can do what you can. It might be the littlest thing that will change everything today, that will bring the greatest revival, that will bring souls into the kingdom of God, that we seek you spiritually, Father, each and every day as the body of Christ. And we ask you, Father, to come on the scene and do what none of us can do this morning, Father. Change America. Get us back on focus. Get our leaders back on focus. And get us back in looking at you as the greatest treasure of all times, the number one thing that we ought to put up in our lives every day that no one can steal. No one can take away the character that we're building in our lives, and what we're wanting to seek out to do in the millennium reign. Every one of these men and women are going to be unique, and they're going to do a great ministry. But right now, Father, I pray for those lost ones in America today that have lost their way, and they're not no longer seeking you as the number one source of their life in America today. Thank you, Father, for God. Thank you for our country. And I pray for it today and our leaders in Jesus' marvelous mighty name. Amen. Today, as we look and realize, all of us, today is some of the favorite things that Americans do. And I don't know about you, I'm just speaking for myself, but I love to collect things. I mean, I always have. I remember, believe it or not, when I was in Colorado, I'd go all over and collect all these little things
it sounds bad, but it was those little shot glasses that I don't know, it was something about them little things that had the writings all over from every state. And man, I got up in the attic, man, I've got a collection of those things. That's just everybody has something that they collect, you know. I remember collecting comic books at one time. But I thank God every one of us, when we look and realize today, that of all the things, David became the greatest king in the history of Israel. And one day, he was looking at that palace that he lived in. He thought, you know, man, how God's house was still in a tent. It was in a tabernacle that Moses had built. And he said, hey, what's wrong with this picture? God deserves a better house than I have. Amen. And so he planned to build that temple, praise God. And all of a sudden he says, David, you can't build it. You're not allowed to. Your hands have blood on them. And he began to realize that his son was going to take on a task, just like our children in America today are going to take on the task when we're gone if the Lord doesn't come back. And so here, David accepted God's restriction and decided that his son Solomon would build that temple. And all of a sudden, with the background, we begin to look at David would raise the money for building that temple. And as we read this morning how Solomon was going to be the future builder, but David says, you know, look at all the things, God, that you've given me. I want you to just for a minute just look at your life and look how blessed every one of us have been today with what we have. You see, God owns everything. He allows us to be the managers of this wealth. And you know what? We can't take none of it with us to heaven. We can't take, well, man, you can put it in a U-Haul behind the hearse, but it won't help, as they say, you know. And so everyone, but we can send it on ahead. That's the kind of treasure that we got to continue to think about today. I've got treasure. I'm going to send it on ahead. It's going to wait on me there when I get there. And so my heart abides when I invest God's money that I honor, then I give it back to him first and best, the best way that I can. And so the antidote for materialism is the joyful cycle of giving to receive, to give even more. And I thank God sometimes many of you do that so well. You give yourself. You give your time when you do things for the Lord. Here in 1 Chronicles, in verses 1 through 5, we didn't read them, but it was telling us all the things that it was a time to collect the offering. And David, who's going to give you money? We all give, every one of us. That's the thing about a body of Christ, a local assembly. As you always hear me say a lot of times, one of the number one ministries of the church is to take care of the needy. This church has done it for many years. I know since I've been here, and even before that. And so here, every one of us, we've done that. The treasure truth is not about giving money, though. It's about giving consecrated to God. And I thank God the people in the Bible gave generously. In verses 10 through 13, David offered a powerful prayer of thanksgiving. And he praised the Lord in the presence of the entire assembly. Amen. Praise the Lord, God your Father of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, as you read. On down in verses 14 through 18, he says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, Lord. We have given you only what comes from your hand. We're aliens and strangers in your sight, and we're all forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope, he was talking about. Oh, Lord our God, he said. And all of this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, he said. And all of it belongs to you. And he says, I know, my God, that you test the heart, and all are pleased with it. Amen. Most of us know the things that goes through life. We know people in the life today that have been blessed. We know Kathy with Chick-fil-A, how everything he does, God blessed him with selling all them chicken sandwiches. Man, they taste great, don't they? All them biscuits taste good, hallelujah. And so I thank God all of us, when we look and illustrate from David the treasure of that irresistible direction that he points us in, because David's desire was to know and to follow God's heart. That ought to be our number one agenda every day that we work on. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, David was called a man after God's own heart. Did he make mistakes? Yes, we know he did. But Paul was reviewing Old Testament history when he said in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, and after removing Saul, He made David their king. He testified concerning him that I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, that he'll do everything that I want him to do. And you read that if you want to in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. God wanted a permanent place of worship in Jerusalem, and that became the focus of David's life. He wanted to follow God's desires. I wonder when we got up last week, what day did we get up and say, God, I want to do something today just for you. I'm going to say, oh me. I don't know about you. I have to speak for myself. Oh me, Lord. I'm going to tell you, I dropped the ball. Lord, when was I really thinking all about what I need to do for your desires? Amen. God wanted a permanent place in Jerusalem. And our heart represents the control center of our lives. It's where we make our choices. It's the early age that David decided he wanted. He started out, man, that God chose him. And he was just a young boy. And finally, he became a shepherd. And then he was a king. And David wanted to do everything. He said, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean that you just say, well, praise the Lord three times and God's going to give you a Maserati or because you desire one. But when you're truly delighting in the Lord himself, his desires become your desires. That's what he's talking about. Everything that the Lord wants to do. And every one of us, as we seek God, first his kingdom. Your heart will either be committed to the world's philosophies about the possessions or God's treasure truth of what he's got for us. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, we can set our heart on the desires of God. Paul writes, he says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, since then you've been raised with Christ. And I'm kind of paraphrasing this. You'll have to read it from the King James later. Set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds on things above, not on the earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's what he's saying. And so every one of us without Christ, we have our hearts and minds set on this world, the fashions, the fads, the finances that are out there, the fun of this world, but we're different. We're supposed to be different. We've got a desire, he says. And so that desire is to know and to follow God's heart. We need to get our hearts and minds out of this world and focus on the priorities of heaven. You say, man, COVID's going on. I know it is. I know there's a lot of distractions that are going on in the world today. But we've got to look at David's example that he set for us of that irresistible direction of your treasure, where it's going to be focusing, amen. And so I thank God. He said David's desire was to know and to follow God's heart. But secondly, David, as we look at him as our example, David gave his personal treasure to expand God's work. Every one of us have done that at some time. We've written somebody. Man, I tried to run in. I said, God, run me into somebody and then give me the courage to do it. Amen. Because I thank God, I'm serious. I'm courageous and bold all the time. I need the help too. I need the courage. Amen. And so I thank God. David gave his personal treasure to expand God's work. Amen. David first gave out of the royal treasury for the building of that temple. That all of a sudden it looked like government spending. But he took it another step and he gave the personal fortune as well. He said, in my devotion, he tells us, he said, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God. And above everything, I provided for this holy temple 113 tons of gold, 214 tons of silver. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 3 and 4. We didn't read them, but here it talks. At that current price of gold and silver, David's personal offering for the temple would be, hey, whatever the price of gold is today, but I'm going to say maybe $18 billion today. But I don't know what the current gold price is. It could be more than that. David said, I'm going to give my personal wealth. The Hebrew language, as it indicates, that David didn't just give a portion of his personal treasure. He gave all of it. Boy, I don't know. I tell you, we can't survive without that. We've got to have something. God understands that. But I thank God as you look. You know what? Basically, he says, David, I'm all in. I'm going to give everything I've got. And because he put his treasure there, his heart followed where that treasure was. And I thank God. We see that he wanted the temple to be so beautiful that it would be a testimony of the greatness and the glory of God. Now, let me say one thing. David did this, but what did David know? David knew that that temple was going to be destroyed in a couple of years. Ain't that bad, but he still gave everything. You see, it was. That temple was destroyed. We know that the Assyrians took care of the northern kingdom. Then Babylonians took care of the southern kingdom. But then 400 years that it goes by in the book of Malachi, and all of a sudden, after all of that silence, that Jesus comes on the scene again. And he begins to come in, and he begins to tell some of them about some of the things, amen. And one of the things that we go all the way through Matthew, that we go all the way back, and he begins to tell us. And he tells us I believe it's in Matthew chapter 25, that he was talking about. And he began to tell them some of the things that was taking place. Oh, I think I thought I marked that. And he said in verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of the Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But he goes on and he says a lot of things. But one of the things that really gets me is he's talking to Israel, because he realized that Israel don't accept the offer. They refuse it. And all of a sudden, it gives us a chance to come into the branch and the family of God. They refuse the Messiah. They won't recognize that until the tribulation, until that time. And so it's sad that that's taking place. But I thank God, as he's talking about all of these things, he's talking about there's time, just like he got sad, and he began to weep because he realized what was taking place with all of them. And I thank God he told them that later on that when there's going to be some things that's going to happen to them, it's going to come back. I thought I marked it down, but... Yeah, here we go. Excuse me. It's on the word. In Matthew chapter 23, he says, for I say, you shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, thank God it's sad today, as I flip back over to Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29, that every one of us, he wanted the temple to be beautiful. And it would be a testimony of the greatness and the glory of God. He gave to a ministry that he would never see happen. That's right. Just like George Washington did. He died before the temple was completed. He did. It didn't stop him, though. He was given so future generations could be blessed by the worship of that beautiful temple. And he knew that one day that temple would crumble and it would fall. In less than 400 years, Solomon's temple lay in ruins. They built a second temple. It was destroyed as well. And it was a reminder that everything that we build in this world is only temporary. Amen. It's only temporary. Let me look at it. Woo, I lost track of time, didn't I? Boy, I'm telling you, I'm sorry. Let me move on. I didn't realize time did get away from me. I apologize. Boy, I tell you, let me move on quickly. Amen. Let me do my third point. David revealed the secret of a joyful giving. And I thank God in verse 9, he talked about, he says, listen. He says, then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Every one of us, when we look and realize, the most joyous people that I've ever known are those that are givers. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something I do. It don't take me long, and I'm not trying to test anybody, but I'll go and buy somebody's lunch every now and then. Now, not ladies, don't get me wrong. Men. I'll buy one of the guards, okay? I don't want nothing to be across the line there. I stick to the male junior, and I do some good things, and people come, or, just to say, hey, you know what? I love to give. I think, I'll say this out loud, but I think, I wonder, do they have a giving heart? But I never see it. I just got to tell you like this. I'll never see it. You see, folks like you that have that giving heart is such a blessing that you treasure, because you have that irresistible direction. And I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit was dealing with me about this, about saying that, because I said, I try to give things to people. I love to give things, matter of fact, because God gave it to me. He let me borrow. But if we can do something like that every now and then, it ain't about giving something back, but you begin to see that there's other people out there that they never see about seeking the treasure. The greatest joy. And the greatest joy is to be able to give. Let's give the kingdom of God away. Let's give the joy. Let's give the gospel, praise God. Everything that we have is a gift from God. And David is given a prayer of thanksgiving. That's what he said. This is a remarkable multi-million dollar offering that David broke out in a prayer of thanksgiving. And he said, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, Lord. Everything that we have is a gift from God. And what are the gifts that God has given you this morning? Thank you, Lord, for my health. Thank God for my health. Thank you for my job. Lord, thank you for giving me a little bit of intelligence. I take common sense over brains every day of the week, amen. Well, thank God. Lord, thank you for the children that is in our lives. Thank you for our friends that we have. Thank you for the possessions that are a gift, amen. The wealth, whatever that you've given us, Lord, thank you. All of these, but we don't own anything. Everything that we have is on loan from God. And he gives us, for a little while, things that we manage it as well as we can. We don't hoard it. We keep it in circulation. And I thank God that's exactly what we do today. Every one of us, everything that we have is a gift from God. And we give to God only what he has first given to us. David prayed, all of this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for a holy name comes from your hand, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all of it belongs to you this morning. All of the things that we have, praise God, is yours, amen. But lastly, God tests our hearts according to how well that we manage his resources. I thank God. David prayed, he said, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity, that all of these things that I have given willingly and honest intent. And now I've seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Let's bow our heads this morning. As Sister Sheila comes around to the piano this morning, I thank God David realized that God tests our hearts when we give. Oh, we give it willingly and joyfully. Notice it's not just about money, but it's about the time that as we're passing the heart test, as we're sending and giving things of the gospel away every day, that we love the Lord enough that we're going to continue to give the gospel away. We're going to tell somebody. We're going to testimony. We're going to share his love, amen. All of us, every one of us can do that every day if we continue to do it. Father, Lord, as Sister Sheila plays on the piano, Lord, I want to thank you for the gifts as we seek you out every day. You're a tremendous blessing. We have let you down so much. We have dropped them all. And I pray, God, that we'll get back on track, Father. Lord, that we won't be continually stopped by some of the things. Yes, we do have to respect the health of others and the time frame that we're in. But I pray, God, that we'll continue to seek you out. Lord, because it's a spiritual thing to seek you first, the kingdom of God, to have the irresistible direction of our treasure pointing in your direction as People's Valley Baptist Church, this wonderful body of Christ, that we'll continue to do what you called us to do, the Great Commission, Father. Lord, bless those out there today that don't even know what we're talking about. They're lost if they can be, on their way to the devil's hell, not my sin, but according to the Bible. And so with your biblical standards today, Father, I pray for America. And I pray that we would learn how, again, to seek you first and the kingdom of God. And everything else will be in its right priority, Father. This morning, Lord, forgive us where we drop the ball. Help us to get back. And Lord, to give thanks for all the many gifts, the talents that you've given us today. As men and women of God, thank you for our spouses. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a nation that has been founded on the Word of God. But, Lord, I pray for our leaders in the White House today. I pray for Congress. I pray for locally everything, our sister churches, that we'll all get back on track in America today. God and country, that we'll begin to seek you first and foremost in America today. Because that's what you've got for us. That's our greatest calling to look out for today in America. And Lord, you have given us everything that we have, and we're so grateful for it today.